our mission is connecting people to Jesus. Connecting people to Jesus through the life-transforming power of the gospel. And that has both an internal and also an external dimension. So internally, we are together connecting to Jesus. We're doing that right now as a part of our Sunday service. We do that midweek in our connection groups when we meet in the homes of different Connection Point members. That's all about connecting to Jesus. But it's not only internally that we're looking to connect people to Jesus. Also, externally, we look outside the walls of the church, beyond just the members of Connection Point, looking to connect people to Jesus who are not currently a part of our body and who are not currently a part of the body of Christ. Now, we're a very new church, just getting started, and to date, we have made more progress connecting people to Jesus internally than we have connecting people to Jesus externally. And that's understandable. When you first get started, you're trying to figure out how to pull off a Sunday service. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do for kids. You're working on your music. But it's not an option when you look at Scripture to focus all your efforts on connecting people to Jesus internally. The command to go into all the world and make disciples demands that the church has this external dimension to it as well. And so this, we've had a kind of an internal focus more so than the external. It's not that we haven't grown, and it's not that people haven't come to know Christ, but it's about to change to where we have much more external focus. And we actually feel through a time of prayer that we had a couple months ago, we feel like the Lord has given us a short-term mission objective to add 25 people to our midst by the end of February. Short-term mission objective of adding 25 people by the end of February. And this is not because we're all about numbers. We're not trying to celebrate how big we are, how fast we've grown. I'm not really interested in that. But what this is about is the importance of connecting people to Jesus externally. It's about the Great Commission. It's about developing more of an evangelistic edge to our church. And this is important not only when it comes to spreading the gospel, it's also important when it comes to our own internal ministries. Because when you're a new church, you only have so many ministries in place. And if you're going to add additional ministries, well, you're going to have additional people in order to have bodies for those ministries. If we were to add more ministries right now, what that would mean is taking someone who's already wearing three different hats and asking them to put on a fourth hat. And what that would do is end up diminishing one of the ministries that we already have in order to focus on adding youth or focus on adding outreach. And we're not interested in diminishing some of the ministries that we already have. What we're interested in is seeing lives connected to Jesus and seeing God use those people to become people who enable us to add on some of these ministries that are currently lacking in our midst. So the short-term mission objective of adding 25 people by the end of February, this is not primarily about numbers. This is about an evangelistic edge, and it's about seeing us grow into the different types of ministries that we're called to, and we felt like the Lord put it on our hearts to ask him for 25 people, and we feel like he is going to honor this. We feel like this is of him, and we feel like he's given us a strategy that's going to enable us to accomplish it. And the strategy to accomplish this short-term objective is twofold. It's prayer and personal invitations. We've actually set aside this coming week as a week for prayer and fasting, and I'll comment more on that a little bit later in the message. And we are also asking that these be a couple months where we step out of our comfort zone when it comes to extending personal invitations to people in your lives to join us at Connection Point. And this is actually going to be a very exciting season, because if we are correct, and the Lord really has put this short-term mission objective on our heart, then that means that he's at work, and he's going to do it. And he is going to connect your friends, your family, your neighbors, your co-workers to Jesus, and he's going to do it through your prayers, and he's going to do it through your personal invites. This morning, we are going to push pause on our series in 1 Corinthians in order to look at a text in Matthew that has a direct bearing on this short-term mission objective we feel that the Lord has given us. And this text is not only important for the next 2 months, because we're trying to add 25 people in the next 2 months. Connecting people to Jesus, it's not a short-term objective. We're not just for 2 months trying to connect people externally to Jesus. This is actually God's heartbeat. It's why he's called us to plant a church, because it was in his heart to connect people to Jesus in North Spokane. So we're looking at a text, and it has bearing on the next 2 months, but it has bearing on the perpetuity of our existence. And this text that we're going to look at is the story that Rick read to us just moments ago about the four types of dirt that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 13. And in this story, a farmer spreads some seed around, and some of the seed falls in bad dirt and doesn't produce anything. But some of it falls in good dirt and produces a harvest. In this story, the seeds that are planted, they represent the good news about Jesus. God is this sower. He's at work spreading the good news about Jesus, and actually we are a part of that process. God's people are a part of that process of the word being sown, of the good news about Jesus being spread, and our invitations these next couple months are part of that process where God spreads the Jesus seed in order to connect people to Jesus. The dirt in this story, it represents the human heart. Jesus teaches that as we seek to connect people to Jesus, we're going to encounter a variety of responses based on the type of dirt, based on the type of human hearts that our Jesus seeds fall into. And here's what Jesus knew. And this is why he told this story to his disciples. Jesus knew that his disciples were going to be discouraged when they encountered bad dirt. He knew that encountering bad dirt was going to cause some of his disciples to want to quit, to either want to quit Jesus or to quit spreading the seed. And so he tells this story, and the story has the same message for us today that it did to his 12 disciples 2,000 years ago, and the message is this: don't quit when you encounter bad dirt, because God promises a harvest. Let me say that again. Don't quit when you encounter bad dirt, because God promises a harvest. And that's today's message in a nutshell. We're going to look at the first part of that statement, and then we're going to look at the second part of that statement. And I want to show you how the events that we have planned and the prayer week that we have planned over these next couple months are directly tied to our command to go into the world to make disciples, to our mission to connect people to Jesus, to this seed being sown, the Jesus seed being sown into North Spokane. So, point number one of two: don't quit when you encounter bad dirt. Jesus actually is telling the stories to the disciples so that they understand that God was at work despite the mixed beliefs about Jesus that the disciples were encountering. And so he says, don't quit. Don't quit when you encounter unbelief. We read in verse 4, it says, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And later Jesus explains what he meant by this. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. In other words, when the Jesus seed is spread, you're going to encounter some unbelief. And this would have been really surprising, perhaps, to Jesus' disciples. And it definitely would have been surprising to the Jews, because the Jewish expectation was, when the Messiah comes, everyone's going to believe. And the disciples' expectation was, if Jesus is the Messiah, then he's going to rally all Israel, and all Israel's going to believe, so they thought. However, that's not happening. In fact, Jesus is contradicting this. We saw, if you were to look earlier in Matthew in chapter 10, Jesus is saying there's actually going to be a minority of believers in Israel, and they're going to be persecuted. And you can see the wheels turning in the minds of Jesus' listeners. They were thinking, wait a minute, isn't it the Messiah's opponents that are going to suffer? If Jesus is the Messiah, how come his followers are going to be in the minority? Why are they going to suffer? And then in chapter 11, Jesus actually denounces a number of Israelite cities for rejecting him. In other words, they didn't believe in him. There was unbelief already. And you can see the disciples wondering, wait a minute, what's going on? Isn't the Messiah going to be believed? And isn't it Rome that's going to be denounced? What's going on here? And then in chapter 12, just before we get to our chapter, we see the Pharisees, who are the religious rulers in Israel, we see them rejecting Jesus. And again, some of Jesus' followers may have been beginning to experience some doubt. Like, surely if Jesus was the Messiah, surely he would at least have won over the Jewish leaders. Okay, maybe there's some distant Israelite cities that didn't respond. And of course, Rome wouldn't respond. The Messiah is going to come and free us from Rome. But surely the key Jewish people would believe. But instead of coming along and soothing everyone's fears, instead of Jesus saying, oh, guys, don't worry, I'm going to convince all the doubters. No, Jesus comes along and teaches his followers to expect unbelief when the good seed is sown. And then he explains why in verse 15. He says, for this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. He's telling his disciples, don't quit when you encounter unbelief. Don't quit believing in Jesus when you run into the unbelief of others. Don't quit being a part of this process of the seed being sown when you run into the bad dirt of unbelief. But it's not only that some will fail to believe it, it actually gets worse, Jesus says. He says, some who you think have believed haven't in actuality believed. So not only are you going to encounter unbelief, but people that you think have believed haven't actually truly believed. And so he goes on to say, don't quit when you encounter conditional belief. Conditional belief. Look at verse 5. Jesus describes this conditional belief. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. And in verse 20, Jesus explains that this represents the one who has conditional belief. He hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And here's the conditional part. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. He'll profess belief as long as it doesn't lead to any difficulties personally. But as soon as believing causes difficulties, were done believing. It wasn't true belief. It was conditional belief, and Jesus teaches his followers to expect to encounter conditional belief. Some people will appear to believe, but they will leave when believing makes things difficult. Some people will appear to believe, but they will leave when believing makes things difficult. In fact, we see this happen over in John chapter 6. Jesus gives a hard teaching, and then it says, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. We see this happen later in the New Testament, and when we look at the history of the early church, that when people were faced with the choice between Jesus on the one hand or dying on the other hand, many chose to cling to their life and walk away from Christ. That's because conditional belief, it gives up on Jesus if things get hard. Conditional belief gives up on Jesus if he becomes unpopular. And Jesus tells this story to encourage his disciples, don't quit when you encounter conditional belief. He also says, don't quit when you encounter fading belief. Look at verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And this is the person who has fading belief, and Jesus describes it this way. He says, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Jesus teaches his followers, expect that when the Jesus seeds are sown, expect that as you live your life seeking to connect people to Jesus, you are going to encounter some fading belief. There are some people who will seem to believe at first, but eventually it will become apparent that pleasure, that money, that the cares of this world were actually more important to them than Jesus. And a case in point was Judas, one of Jesus' own disciples. We read in chapter 26, says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, he went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver Jesus over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. One of Jesus' own disciples seemed that he had true belief, but it turned out that what was really driving him was money, and he was willing to forsake Christ as long as the price was right. Fading belief. When Paul was in prison in Rome, he talked about another person who had fading belief, another person whose belief in Jesus was choked out by the thorns. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Fading belief will let Jesus slide in order to pursue money. Fading belief will let Jesus slide in order to pursue pleasure. Fading belief will let Jesus slide in order to pursue worldly values. And through telling us this story, Jesus is saying, don't quit connecting people to Jesus if you don't immediately strike pay dirt. When you seek to spread the Jesus seed and you don't immediately find that good soil, don't quit connecting people to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Good seed doesn't guarantee that it is always going to find good soil. But too often, we're like that little kid at an egg hunt who cries and quits because he couldn't find an egg in the first two places that he looked. Have you ever seen a two-year-old that the parent brings to his very first Easter egg hunt? And so he's got his basket, and he's all excited, and there's eggs out everywhere in the field. And so he takes his basket, and he kind of tentatively steps out, and he looks back at his parents, and they give him an encouraging nod. And so he walks, and he goes, and he looks around the backside of a tree, and there's no egg there. And his bottom lip starts to quiver a little bit, and he looks back at his parents, but they give him another smile, and so he continues on, and he goes, and he looks under a rock, and there's still no egg there. And so now the tears just start to flow, and he cries, and he leaves the hunt to head back toward his parents. Well, what do the parents do? They pick him up, and they wipe away the tears, and they help him to get back into the hunt because there's eggs everywhere. In fact, they can see about 10 right from where they're standing. And that's what this parable is designed to do for us. It's designed to get us back in the hunt. It's designed to keep us in the hunt when we've looked around a tree and we didn't find good soil. It's designed to keep us in the hunt when we lifted up a rock and we found packed dirt, or we found thorny dirt, or the fact that it was under a rock indicates that it was rocky dirt. And our tendency is to be like that 2-year-old at his first egg hunt and to be saying, well, this is just too hard. I can't find an egg anywhere. When the reality of this boy at the egg hunt is that he just walked right by 2 eggs on his way back to his parents. Because the parents know where he's at. In fact, they just went and they just set some down in the grass. They didn't even hide the eggs. They just set them in the grass, and he walked right by them crying. He doesn't have the eyes yet to see the eggs. He hasn't learned how to truly look for eggs. And so sometimes we're like that little kid. And so Jesus gives this parable saying, don't quit. Don't quit because you don't find good dirt immediately. The good dirt's out there. In fact, we're about to see this. God promises a harvest. God promises that you, if you participate in this egg hunt, you're going to find some eggs. And the reason we can know this is going to happen is because God is going to help us. He's that parent that comes alongside the 2-year-old and starts to walk with them and says, hey, why don't you look right over there? And the 2-year-old looks over there, and all of a sudden a big grin comes on his face, and he goes and he gets an egg, and he puts that egg in his basket. God is like that for us. We are not a helpless 2-year-old out on our own trying to find eggs that have been buried 30 feet under the ground. We have a God who's determined that all the eggs that he has hidden in the field will end up in baskets. Our basket will not be empty. Don't quit because, second point, God promises a harvest. Don't quit when you encounter bad dirt. Why? Because God promises a harvest. Look at verse 8. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And in verse 23, Jesus says, this represents the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit because of God's promise. Expect. Because of God's promise, expect that some seed is going to land in good dirt. And this should be really encouraging. There is good soil out there. There's nothing wrong with your seed. And when you plant the Jesus seed and it finds the good soil, it will take root. So if you feel overwhelmed at the thought of sharing Jesus with people, if you feel overwhelmed at the thought of inviting people, if you feel overwhelmed because in the past when you participated in this egg hunt for Jesus, you ran into unbelief and you run into fading belief and you run into conditional belief and it just doesn't seem worth it, I want you to take heart because God is at work. God is making sure that Jesus seeds are spread. God is making sure that there is good dirt. God is making sure that the seeds will produce a harvest. And this harvest, it's not based on your personal sufficiency. It's not based on your egg hunt skills. It's not based on how smart you are. It's not based on how eloquent you are. It's not based on how powerful you are. This is really good news. It's really not based on you. All you're called to do is to go and participate in the egg hunt, and then God promises he's going to put eggs into baskets. We can be expectant because God's at work. God's acting. God promises a harvest. He promises fruit. He promises some eggs in our basket. And so this fruit that grows, and some produces 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold, we here actually are that fruit. The seed took root in our heart, and we've been growing. And part of the fruit that God brings about is the fruit of courage to share Jesus with others. The fruit of courage to reach out and to invite other people into God's community. God's going to help you. He will help us. You're not alone. Because of God's promise that there will be a harvest, be expectant. Go on this treasure hunt. When Paul was in Corinth, God spoke to him and said, "Stay here, for I have many people in this city." Now, it's an interesting phrase there in Acts because Paul was just reaching Corinth and almost nobody in Corinth knew Jesus yet. God wasn't saying, "Hey, Paul, there's a whole bunch of Christians here. Just go find them." No, he was telling Paul, "There's a whole bunch of people that are good soil, and I want you to stay here because when you sow the seeds of Jesus into their life, they're going to believe." And friends, we have that same promise from God. The reason that God plants a church is to reach others for the gospel. It's to connect people to Jesus internally, yes, but it's because God has in mind people outside of his family that he intends to connect to Jesus. That's why Connection Point was planted, because there are people in North Spokane. We don't know who they are, but God's like this guy who planted all these Easter eggs, and he knows where they are, and he's calling us to go find the eggs. There are people that are good soil in North Spokane that God has appointed for us. And he says, don't be discouraged when you run into bad dirt. Stay on the treasure hunt. There's good soil out there. He has many in North Spokane for Connection Point to reach. And they're in your families. They're in your neighborhoods. They're your coworkers. They're your friends. God promises a harvest. Because of his promise, be expectant. And because of his promise, invite people. Now, a big part of being involved in this process of sowing the seed is actually declaring the gospel into people's lives. Because of where we're at over these next couple months, I'm going to aim my application more at inviting people to come to our services, inviting people to come to our events. And I just want you to know, I promise that when you invite your friends, they're going to show up and they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus. They're going to hear the good news about Jesus. Now, should you be sharing in their lives the good news of Jesus? Yes. But for today, I'm going, part of the way that you participate in this process of sowing the seed is by inviting people to come interact with God's family, inviting people to come hear the word preached. Inviting people into the church community is part of the process of spreading these Jesus seeds. And actually, if you look around, we have many people in our midst who are believers because of an invitation. There was someone who, because of God's promise, extended an invitation. And so I actually reached out to a couple people and I asked if they would give me in 3 or 4 sentences how a personal invitation was what God used in order to plant the seed in the good soil of their heart. So I talked with Gabby Barton. Is Gabby... I think she's back with kids. She said, "I was turned off to religion in a big way after being severely bullied at a Catholic school growing up. In my mid-40s, a stranger on a plane shared Jesus with me. And then when a plane landed, a family member invited me to church. I went. I felt uncomfortable. But as a result, I received a Christian book, which I read on the return flight, and by the time I got home, I was changed. I found a local Christian church, and I've been in love with Jesus ever since. No interest in Jesus. Someone invited her, and God used that to plant the seed because she was good soil. Carol, is Carol back with kids too? Okay. Carol shared with me, she says, I was in high school looking for fun wherever it could be found. A neighbor, who was actually not that close of a friend, invited me to church camp. I went and was impressed by the love I saw among the people there. I remember thinking that I wanted what these people had. That's how Carol came to know Jesus. She wasn't interested. God ambushed her through the invite of someone she didn't actually know that well. And then her life has changed. Now she's married to one of our elders. Daniel Richardson said, I was angry and violent. A man came to my boxing gym and convinced me to visit his church. I went, experienced Jesus, and dedicated my life to the Lord at the very next service. These are people you'd have, just by looking at them, there's no way that you would have been able to tell that they were good soil. In fact, by looking at them, you might have concluded that they were bad dirt, unbelieving dirt, conditional belief dirt, fading belief dirt. No. Someone went on a treasure hunt, made an invite, and then God used that to connect them to Jesus. Rick shared one with me. I got two others here for you. I was in high school, living a life without having any understanding of who Christ was, when a friend of mine invited me to his youth group. There was something different about my friend and many of the people who went to the youth group. I quickly realized it was Jesus and became a Christian soon after. My dad sent me one. I was a self-centered, indulgent young man who was looking for a deeper meaning to life. A friend who was also searching invited me to an outdoor Jesus revival meeting. It was at this meeting that I heard the message of salvation through Jesus for the first time. And everything changed from that moment forward. Why am I sharing this with you? Because of God's promise that there will be a harvest. Invite. Invite your friends. We have key people in our church, key leaders in our church, that are leaders because someone extended an invitation, and that's what God used to connect them to Jesus. And so I'm actually sharing this message because we are in a season where we've got this short-term objective of adding 25 people by the end of February, and that's not very long. And in those couple months, we have thought ahead and created a number of events for you to invite your friends, your families, your coworkers to. Some of them are Sunday morning based, designed to help you invite people to a church service. Some of them are midweek based, designed to help get your friends connected into a connection group. We have some things that are more just social, designed to get your friends and coworkers interacting with the community of God in what they might see as a less threatening environment. And so I want to share with you, I'm actually bringing our announcements right into the middle of today's message. The reason I'm doing this, I want you to know that there's a connection between the sorts of things that we're announcing and being a part of this process of connecting people to Jesus. We don't just have a fun family night because we like fun and family. There is a gospel impetus behind it. And so I want to help you see the connection between the sorts of things that we announce on a Sunday and our mission to connect people to Jesus. And then I want you to really think seriously, God, who do you want me to reach out and invite? What trees do you want me to look behind? What rocks do you want me to lift up? Where is that good soil? So 6 invite events, and some of them are on this card that is sitting next to you. In fact, if you grab a card or two, these are designed for you to put one on your fridge so you know what's going on, but also designed for you to give one to a friend so that you can put something in your hand and say, hey, come join me for this. So the first invite event that we have is our sermon series that starts next week. For the next 4 weeks, We are going to take a break from 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be doing a series called Relationship Resolutions. And everybody has relationships. Everyone has relationship struggles. And Jesus has answers for our relationship struggles. This series was strongly influenced by a series I heard Zach Eswine preach out of Proverbs. Relationship wisdom from Proverbs that led people straight to Jesus. And I'm going to endeavor to do something similar. So when you bring your friends, they will not only learn principles from Scripture that will help their own relationships, but they will see how Jesus is the answer. And so invite people. Tell people. For 4 weeks, we're doing a series on relationships. January 19th, we have a book bingo tasting party. And I know that might sound like a what? What in the world is that? This is super fun for all ages. We'll give more information as the time comes closer, but we're going to have all sorts of different types of food. And then your entry fee is to bring used books or used games. And we all sit around and we eat food and we start playing bingo. And every time you get a bingo, you get to go and select a book or select a game that someone else brought. So it kind of ends up being a used book exchange, a used game exchange, but we also have awesome door prizes, fun door prizes that are not books and that are not games, and tons of food, and you get to hang out and laugh. And so that's coming up. It's a super fun event. It'll be right here. And we're doing this partly because we value relationships, but we want to get to know your friends. We want to get to know your coworkers, and we want to create something that some people might not come to a relationship resolution series, but they might come to our meeting place to play bingo and win a door prize. And so be intentional about these things. We also have some baby dedications coming up, and this isn't something that all of you would be able to invite someone to, but we're going to make these services special. We have like 5 or 6 babies that were born this past year. And we're going to have a special time during our morning service. And these are the sort of events where, similar to a baptism or graduation, you would invite your family to come. We're going to create this service with your family in mind. And we're asking you not only to have your child dedicated, but to invite your family to come and be a part of the special dedication experience. We're going to have a service on January 27th and a service on February 4th. And so if you have a child that's not yet been dedicated on your Connect card, it would help us if you would indicate that where it says other. Indicate child dedication, and then we'll get in touch, and we're going to divide people up between January 27th and February 24th. We also have a family fun night that's going to be coming, taking place right here in the gym with all sorts of activity stations, games, activities, food. That's in February. More information will be coming on that. Our connection groups are each going to plan their own event designed to invite friends and neighbors to come to their midweek connection group. And the last thing I would like you to really pay attention to, I've been mentioning this for a month, but my guess is no one's acted on it yet. And if you don't act on it now, you probably won't. And it's Sunday lunches. We are going to have a bunch of people start to show up because we're going to be going on egg hunts and inviting people. And some of them are going to say yes. When they come, one of the questions they're going to have is, if I came to this church, would I have any friends? Is there room at this church for relationship with me? And so the answer needs to be yes. And part of what causes that is when someone new comes, we go and we talk with them. And we introduce ourselves and we take an interest in them. And one of the ways that I'd like you to do this in January and February, I would like you to pick one Sunday in January and one Sunday in February and arrange with someone else here, we're going to have lunch together after that service. When that Sunday comes, I want you to look around. Who's here that might be newer? Maybe this is their first day, or maybe they've only come a couple times. I want you to go up to them and say, hey, you know, me and Adam, we're going to have lunch together. You guys have lunch plans? You want to do lunch with us? They might say no because it's last minute, But at the very least, they're going to know, hey, there's room for relationships here. There are people who take an interest in me here, and maybe you pick a different day to do lunch with them. But pick two Sundays, and if all together we are planning and making room for these sorts of relationships, I believe God's going to orchestrate it so that the right people are having lunch on the right day, and they get connected with the right visitor. Because if God is calling people to our church, he already has friends and mentors in mind for these people, and we're just going to trust God to orchestrate it and to work it out. But I want you to be intentional to be a part of the invite process. I want you to be intentional not to leave the egg hunt to other people. To say, I'm going to go out, and I'm not going to be intimidated by the bad dirt that I'm going to encounter, because you're going to find some bad dirt, and it's going to feel like rejection. You're going to find some bad dirt, and you're going to be tempted to think, does this Jesus seed really even work? Is it even effective? But I promise, if enough of us commit to this, we are going to find the good soil. And we're going to find those eggs that God's hidden in North Spokane. So because of God's promise, expect, invite, and lastly, because of God's promise, pray. Pray. I'm going to read a verse from Luke chapter 10. Jesus said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." In other words, there's lots of eggs out there. And he says, "Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Pray for inviters. Pray for Jesus seed planters. Prayer is a huge part of the strategy, and we've actually set aside this week as a special week for prayer. And friends, I need you to hear me. Without prayer, we will fail in our mission to connect people to Jesus. Without prayer, we will fail in our short-term objective to add 25 people by the end of February. Our invite strategy is not good enough. Our family bingo is not strong enough to change hearts. It's not by the strength of man that the church is built. It's by God's power that the church is built. And our efforts, they're the means through which God builds his church, but they're not the power. God supplies the power. And he supplies the power through prayer. And so this week is set aside as a week of prayer. And there are two ways I want to suggest for you to participate in our prayer week. And the first way is sign up for a prayer slot. From 8 o'clock a.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., Monday through Saturday, we are looking to have someone committing to pray at the beginning of every hour. And if you could commit to pray through the whole hour, that would be great. But at the very least, we're asking that you would open that hour with prayer. And so that means we're looking for 12 slots to be filled every day, Monday through Saturday. And you can pray from home. You can pray from work. You can pray for part of the hour. You can pray for the entire hour. You can pray with others. You can pray on your own. Just be sure to pray. Now, you may have noticed this week that we tried to send out a digital sign-up sheet. And we just crashed and burned on this thing. And we tried sending it three times, and we messed it up. If you are willing to take a prayer slot, talk to Ian. He actually has a sign-up sheet. We'll get you signed up. And it's going to require all of us coming together. Don't overlook prayer. That's one of the ways that you can participate. And a second way that you can participate this week is to attend a prayer meeting at the Connection Point office. I'm actually going to lead three prayer meetings at the office this week. And here's the times. I'll give them to you. They're also in the email I sent out earlier this week. Tuesday afternoon at 3, Wednesday evening at 5, Thursday morning at 6:30. I tried to pick three really different times so that one of them would hopefully work for everyone. Tuesday afternoon at 3, Wednesday evening at 5, Thursday morning at 6:30, and our office is in the parking lot of Calvary Chapel. There's a Thomas Hammer coffee shop, and my office is in that building. They have a conference room, and we're going to pray there. Prayer matters. Jared Wilson writes, "Prayer is essentially acknowledged helplessness. We know we are powerless to make things happen ourselves." And listen to this. Consequently, when we are not praying much, it's typically because we think, even in difficulty, that we can handle it. You may think your prayers are nothing to write home about. That's fine. You're not writing home, but heaven. God is merciful. He accepts your lame prayers. What he wants is not your eloquence, but your heart. When we cease praying for ourselves, it's because we think that we are the captain of our destinies. When we cease praying for our church, it's because we think we can manage it quite well. Prayerlessness is arrogance, he says. Let's not be arrogant. Let's not depend on our own strength. Let's be a people of prayer. Because of God's promise, we can pray with expectancy that God will bring a harvest. In closing, I would just like to encourage you to remember that God is at work. As we go about inviting friends, as we go about stretching, stepping out, remember, since God is at work to spread the seed, since God is at work making sure there's good soil, since God is at work to empower belief, it shouldn't matter to you how daunting the dirt in people's heart appears to be. It shouldn't matter to you how stony their heart seems to be, how thorny their heart seems to be. In fact, there was a missionary to Iran, I remember hearing the story and I just loved it, who felt a prompting by the Holy Spirit to witness to this Muslim that he saw sitting at the entrance to the store. And this Muslim was dressed in the full Muslim garb. And in Iran, when you see someone dressed like that, it usually indicates that this person is really devout and that there may actually be some literal physical danger involved in reaching out to this person and talking about Jesus. And so he felt this prompting, he thought, to share Jesus with this person. But it seemed to him like this would just be a waste of time. For me to reach out to this person would actually be potentially dangerous. And so for 2 weeks, he said, he ignored this prompting. And every time he would drive by the store and every time he would go to the store, he would see this guy sitting there, just sitting right by the entrance. And he's like, I'm not going to focus on that guy. And instead, he focused his efforts on other people who seemed more likely to believe, who seemed more likely to be good soil. But he made the mistake of mentioning this to his wife. And one day, they went to the store together. And as they were leaving the store, and he still refused to go talk to this Muslim, his wife made him turn the car around. She said, you need to go talk to that guy. And he said, internally, here's what I was thinking. All right, I'm not doing this for that guy. That guy is clearly already set in his ways. I'm doing this to get my wife off my back. And so he walked fearfully up to this guy who was still sitting there 2 weeks later next to the door, dressed in the full Muslim garb. And he said, I gave him a tract and I actually said kind of roughly, here, take this. It's the word of God. And I turned to leave. He said, but the man immediately responded. He said, where have you been? God told me in a dream 2 weeks ago that I should wait here because someone was going to come give me his words. And that man ended up being converted. Do not prejudge what kind of dirt is in someone's heart. God is fully able to clear away rocks in a stony heart. Don't prejudge the dirt. God is fully able to remove thorns from a heart. And the heart that you shared with previously and seemed stony or seemed thorny or seemed like it was packed pathway, you don't know if God has come along with his rototiller and broken up the ground of that heart, and that heart is now good soil. Don't quit when you encounter bad dirt. Don't quit because you feel too weak. Don't quit because it's God who's at work. And because of God's promise that there will be a harvest, you can be expectant. Because of God's promise that there will be a harvest, you can invite people. And because of God's promise, you should pray. and ask him that God will do what he has promised to do. Your job, our job as Connection Point is to pray and to share and to plant the Jesus seeds. It's God's job to prepare the soil and to give the growth. So don't quit when you encounter bad dirt, because God promises a harvest. Let's pray. God, it was intimidating for the disciples to continue spreading the good news of Jesus and demonstrate loyalty to him when Jews all around them were turning away, rejecting, fading. And yet you enabled them by the power of your Holy Spirit to persevere and to press in. And as a result, the gospel spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and it made it all the way to Rome, and it's made it from Rome to North Spokane, and it's making its way from Spokane to the ends of the earth. God, I ask that you would fill us with boldness, and Lord, that your promise in Scripture would give us confidence to keep on keeping on, to keep on sharing, to keep on inviting. And God, we ask that you would cause us to become skilled egg finders. And Lord, that our baskets would fill up with many eggs. Lord, that we would find those people you have hidden in North Spokane. Find those people that you are drawing to yourself, that you have appointed to Connection Points. God, I ask that we would step up as one man, as one body, these next couple months. And Lord, we ask that you would add 25 people by the end of February, not just for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of your glory in North Spokane, for the sake of lives being changed, and for the sake of the ministries that you are calling forth at Connection Point. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.